We're going to be hearing now the scriptures read by two of the chaplains that work at Blue Water under Mark Ball, who we'll be meeting in a few moments. So first we have reading from Malachi, the third chapter, verses 1-4, and then from Luke, the third chapter, verses 1-6. So we'll share those together.
I'm reading from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1-4. The Lord Almighty answers, I will send my messenger to prepare the way for me. Then the Lord you are looking for will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger you long to see will come and proclaim my covenant. But who will be able to endure the day when he comes? Who will be able to survive when he appears? He will be like a strong soap, like a fire that refines metal. He will come to judge like one who refines and purifies silver. As a metal worker refines silver and gold, so the Lord's messenger will purify the priests so that they will bring to the Lord the right kind of offerings. Then the offerings which the people of Judah and Jerusalem bring to the Lord will be pleasing to him, as they used to be in the past.
In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God.
Now I'm going to attempt to share with you an interview I did earlier with our retail chaplaincy. Joining us today for this service is Brother Mark Ball, who is a chaplain at the Blue Water Shopping Center here in our circuit over by Ebb's Fleet. And he's particularly going to be talking today to us about retail chaplaincy. So, what is retail chaplaincy, Mark? Can you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. Hi, Bonnie Bell. It's good to be here with you and with your congregations. What is a retail chaplain? So they don't all look like me, for a start. It's a very wide-ranging, diverse group of people who, in various ways, feel called to minister something of God's presence and God's love in a workplace context. Specifically, we're talking today about retail. So I work part-time, half-time at Blue Water, and I coordinate a team of 7 volunteers drawn from a variety of different churches in the local area, who come in once a week or once every 10 days, once a fortnight, depending on their circumstances, and build up pastoral relationships over time with the retailers, and just getting to know people and showing an interest in the reality of their lives. Doing so as Christians, but therefore people of all faiths and of none, as a listening ear and a compassionate presence. My specific role is with the Blue Water staff, those employed by Blue Water, so they're the management and the cleaners and the receptionists, all those people. And I do some retail chaplaincy, but most of that is covered by the volunteers. That's what it looks like at Blue Water.
Well, that at least tells us one thing. I mean, some people might think that retail chaplaincy is about being there for the shoppers, but you're being there for the people who are servicing the shoppers, so to speak. Is that right?
That's right. So we're pretty low key in terms of the shoppers' experience. Though at Blue Water, we have the Place of Quiet, which is a set aside space, which is open for everybody, for staff and for shoppers. And also when I'm out and about in the mall, I'm quite often engaging with shoppers. So we don't specifically have a strategy for engaging them, but we don't ignore them either.
Ask you particularly to come today as we're into Advent, because I know that this is often the busiest season for retail people. So maybe you could just talk a little bit about some of the stresses that retail folk experience as they're coming up to Christmas. My sign over here says it's the second Sunday of Advent, but there's 22 days till shopping days till Christmas. So what is it like for the retail staff?
You've been in and got all your shopping done, Bonnie Bell?
Not quite.
Okay. So from Halloween, the mall is already transitioned into pretty much full-on festive mode. It's the time of year when the vast majority of the shops make the vast majority of their money. It's a really intense time for the retailers and for the mall itself as well. And of course, that puts a lot of pressure on at every level of the organizations. Regional managers put pressure on local managers, who end up putting pressure on staff. And it's not unkind pressure, but it's definitely pressure to meet targets and to achieve the sales that need achieving. And of course, that's happening to human beings. The impact of that is being felt not by an abstract system, but by the hearts and minds of people living already stressed lives, lots of them. And we all have different levels of stresses in our lives, don't we? But people who work in retail, obviously with gratitude for being employed, but with a whole range of particular pressures affecting them in terms of unsociable hours, often traveling quite far distances to get to work and having to work late and early starts as well. Vast majority of retail staff are at the lower end of pay scales as well. So often struggling to meet household finances, support their families.
Yeah. I was remembering that my own small incident with retail when my first job was wrapping presents at a drugstore. This is in the States, a pharmacy, a chemist. Mm-hmm. And wrapping. And back then things didn't usually come in boxes. So the retailer had saved up boxes all year long and I had to put everything in boxes. My parents picked me up that night on Christmas Eve to take me in the family car to my grandparents' house, which was some 3 hours away. I was a teenager at the time. And I remember that night having a very vivid dream about someone bringing me a huge doll that I had to wrap. And I didn't have a big enough box. And so I was just trying the best. And I woke myself up and I was trying to wrap myself up in the bed covers. So that's just a little glimpse from about a 15-year-old of perhaps what retail staff are in for the long term.
Yeah, something about that all-consuming nature of the experience that even affects you when you're not working, which of course is true for lots of people in all kinds of jobs. But there's something about the intensity of societal pressure on retail at this time of year. Yeah. A lot of other people's hopes and expectations pivoting around your work.
So how do the readings that we had today that we've heard for a few moments ago from the lectionary, the readings from Malachi, the readings from Luke, how does that impact or does that have any correlation with what's happening for retail staff? How might they hear those readings?
I think they resonate for retail chaplains particularly, because of that, they resonate for retailers too, in the sense that as chaplains, we often feel on the edge of church. We feel that we're perhaps building bridges between the church community and the working community outside of church. And that's not always an easy place to be. There's something of a prophetic edge to that in terms of going beyond the church community as a place of comfort and encouragement out into the world where the Christian message is often reacted to differently than it is in church. So there's something of a connection with the story of God's purposes in the Bible that these readings help chaplains, I think, in terms of feeling that they're part of something purposeful. I think just the fact that they point beyond the commercialism that's so prevalent when we today think about Christmas, that they point, whoever it is, whoever's reading these scriptures or hearing them, point to a spiritual reality beyond the physicality of consumerism, that there's something beyond the all-consuming here and nowness of life that God is calling us to be open to, be aware of, and to engage with. I like the little line in the Malachi passage about God purifying us as gold and silver. There's something of challenge in that, but for me, beneath that, there's the simple fact that God is treating us as precious, gold and silver. People are precious to God, whoever we are, whatever sphere of work we're engaged in or not. And that preciousness with which God sees us is what leads to the incarnation, to Christ becoming present in the world, to manifest God's presence and love for all people. And that's, in the end, the message that we seek to share in humble, invitational, loving ways as chaplains, simply loving our neighbours as Jesus advises and teaches us and helps us to do.
As I'm looking at those words of Malachi, I'm looking about preparing the way for Jesus to come, but for God to be in our midst. And of course, they're preparing the way for all the Christmas shopping. And then I like the line about who can endure the day of his coming. As in, sometimes the lead up to Christmas, it just becomes like an endurance, right? But we keep going, knowing that God is with us, and yet God is still to come.
Who can endure the coming of Christmas? I think, it goes back to what we were talking about before, about some of the pressures people are feeling. Maybe it's helpful just to share a couple of real life stories of some of the situations that we encounter in our midst in a retail environment. And I'm drawing here from the experience of Blue Water, but also Kent Workplace Mission, the charity that I work for. We have retail chaplaincy projects in other parts of the county as well. So stories drawn from all over. But I'm thinking in particular of one young person who is struggling with a gambling addiction, a really severe gambling addiction that is consuming all of their financial resources within 2 days of being paid. So this is somebody working on minimum wage, 12-hour shifts, and doing a good job, working well, but then blowing it all within 2 days of being paid each month. And that's been happening for months and months, for years and years. And the hand-to-mouthness of that exacerbated massively by the fact that all that money that's been worked for is gone so quickly. So as chaplains, that's some the kind of story we might be fortunate enough to be opened to. This particular person came to me and talked to me about the situation, and they hadn't been able to do that with anyone else, either at work or at home. So real privilege in being able to simply listen and accompany someone trying to find a way through that, in terms of signposting to professional support and accompanying through that really challenging process of facing up to and dealing with that situation. And another one that's just very recently happened, I've been asked to see somebody who whose mother died 2 weeks ago, and they have been living with their mother in council accommodation without their name being on the lease, on the tenancy. And so the death of the mother means that this person has to vacate the property. Dealing with deep bereavement, pressures of Christmas, and effectively being made homeless, and just feeling completely at sea and not knowing where to go with that, what to do with that. Work colleagues describing how they're a transformed person in a negative way, unrecognizable, their energy's gone, and their motivation, and just deep sadness affecting their lives. We haven't found a solution for that, but we have found the ability to come alongside and to accompany, again, trying to find a solution for that. Not a solution, a way forward, a resolution, helping. Yeah.
We're grateful that you were there and that you were able to do that work. I'm wondering if there are ways that our congregations, wherever we are, how can we help support what you're doing? Can we pray for you, certainly? If there's other things that we can do, what would that, have some ideas about that?
Yeah, I think the most important thing that myself and other retail chaplains would say is become increasingly aware of the issues, to notice the people serving you in the shops, wherever that might be, and to pray for them, not to pray for me, to pray for them, and to shop, to consume with a prayerful, mindful awareness. For me, that's retail chaplains are modeling a particular way of ministry, but we're doing that on behalf of the whole church. Mm-hmm. And in the end, Jesus calls all of us to love our neighbours, not just those in specifically designated areas of ministry. And I think that's a little simple step that we can all take in the way we relate with our brothers and sisters at work in retail. By all means, pray for retail chaplains as well. We're very grateful for the prayers of the church in the work that we do.
So maybe I'll change my sign to 22 praying days till Christmas.
Huh? Very nice. Yes. Amen to that.
Thank you, Mark. It's been very interesting to hear a different perspective. Anything else that you want us to know right now?
I guess the other thing would just be to say that, as I started with, we're a very diverse range of odd-bod kind of Christian people who have found ourselves in this privileged place of ministering God's presence and God's love amongst God's children at work, in retail and in other places of work as well. And there are always opportunities for people to explore that for themselves in their own discipleship. So if anybody's ever interested in finding out more about workplace chaplaincy, either in retail or in any of the other sectors we cover across the county, then I'm always very happy to have a cup of tea or coffee and chat about the possibilities for all of you there at home. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. That's been very, very helpful. And we look forward to seeing you around, perhaps at Blue Water. And I think we all be going into the shops with a different attitude this Christmas. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you all. Thank you.